Roughly 1 in 8 American women will develop breast cancer in their lifetime, according to the American Cancer Society. And breast cancer rates are on the rise, up 0.5% each year for the last several years. A link between breast cancer and the naturally occurring hormones estrogen and progesterone is well known. Higher levels of these hormones lead to a greater risk of developing breast cancer. So women who start puberty early or enter menopause late are exposed to more estrogen over the course of their lives and are at increased risk. What's been less well understood is how chemical exposure can actually raise those hormone levels in women. But researchers at the Silent Spring Institute recently concluded a study that looked at 1,800 chemicals listed on the EPA's toxicity forecaster, ToxCast, to see which ones caused an increase in estrogen and progesterone. They found nearly 300 chemicals increased one or both of the hormones, elevating the risk for breast cancer. Elizabeth Gribkoff is a reporter for Environmental Health News, and she's been covering the latest research.
So a little bit of background first. Historically, a lot of chemical safety assessments have been done using animal studies, and that kind of makes sense. The idea is like we'll see how mice or whatever respond to chemicals, and that can kind of give us a window into how humans might respond. The only challenge of that is that that's pretty expensive and time consuming. So increasingly, regulatory agencies have been looking at basically doing like en masse chemical safety testing where they'll like expose cells and other molecules to, you know, a large array of chemicals and then see if that triggers any changes. So the EPA had done that and released data on like almost, I think, about 2,000 chemicals in 2018. So Silent Spring researchers essentially looked through that existing data and saw which of those chemicals cause cells to make higher levels of estrogen and progesterone. And they found 296 chemicals that did that.
Now, that's a very particular definition of how these are harmful, but had any of these chemicals previously been identified as harmful, say, were any of them carcinogens?
Yeah, so 77 of them had previously been identified as carcinogens, and some other ones had previously been found to be potential reproductive toxicants as well. But another kind of key finding was that they noticed that a lot, like over 200 of the chemicals, you know, hadn't been identified previously as potential carcinogenics. And a lot of them hadn't even really been looked at. You know, it wasn't like they'd been studied for that potential and been found to be safe. It was just more that a bunch of the chemicals had never really been, their safety hadn't really been screened.
In the United States, safety screening for consumer products rarely looks at how the chemicals affect the production of estrogen and progesterone. Could you share with us any insights as to why you think this might be?
You know, historically, a lot of women's health issues have often been underfunded or for whatever reason haven't been taken quite as seriously. Researchers also told me that a lot of existing chemical safety tests didn't really look at effects to the mammary gland or dismissed those effects when they were found. And one of the researchers I talked with said, you know, I can't help but kind of wondering if this is because a lot of women's health issues have gotten short shrift.
And when these issues are getting overlooked, what can sort of be done in order to remedy this problem?
Yeah, I think there's a few different steps. I mean, you know, the research in this study said that this list of 296 chemicals, this kind of provides a good starting point for, hey, we might need to, you know, look at these chemicals further. Maybe we should really be looking at, could these affect mammary tissues? Maybe we should be in larger scale epidemiological studies, when you're actually looking at, you know, population level exposure, maybe these should be chemicals that we should be seeing whether, you know, women who are exposed to these are having higher rates of breast cancer. And I think just in general, when we have, say, existing chemical safety screening data, we should also be looking at whether chemicals could be causing cells to make more estrogen and progesterone. And I think something that's kind of interesting is that, I guess in toxicology research, toxicologists have already been looking at hormone mimicking effects, like whether something, a chemical could be mimicking estrogen, but for whatever reason, haven't been looking as much at, hey, can this actually cause cells to make more estrogen? So it just seems like that needs to be, I think that is becoming more of an area in focus, but continuing to do that. And just also, you know, not dismissing effects to the mammary gland if that's found in a chemical safety test.
And Elizabeth, let's chat a little bit more about these couple hundred of chemicals. They've been found in common places such as hair dye and pesticides. How common exactly are these chemicals and what consumers are being affected?
Sure. So I think that that's something that researchers still need to get something of a better handle on. One of the researchers I talked to said, you know, she wasn't exactly sure how consumers were being exposed to all of these. But I mean, something, you know, a lot of them are pesticides. So one way people could kind of, you know, maybe reduce exposure to that would be eating organic food, making sure that you're, you know, washing fruits and vegetables adequately. And of course, for farm workers, you know, making sure that they have adequate protection when they're working in the field so that they're not getting exposed to these chemicals. And then, you know, in general, even before this study happened, there's been research showing that, you know, there's a lot of like hormone mimicking chemicals in personal care products, especially those marketed toward Black women. So that's just something that people, when you go to the store and, you know, buy whatever shampoo, you think, oh, it's going to be safe. Well, unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. So Silent Spring actually has this app called Detox Me that people can use. And I think that's probably easier for people. You can actually go and like scan a product barcode. That's probably easier than trying to remember in your head, you know, which specific chemicals, you know, are going to be in which product. An environmental working group also has this Skin Deep database that has where you can kind of go and look up, you know, a sunscreen or whatever to see if it's safe. So there's, you know, ways out there that consumers can kind of take measures to protect their own health. Obviously, it would be better if these products were tested before they got to market so that people actually knew that what they were buying was safe, but that's not how it stands currently.
Elizabeth Grubkoff is a reporter for Environmental Health News. Elizabeth, thank you so much for taking the time with me today.
Thanks for having me.